How are we? Day 11 for us, day 25 for Kim. That I can't even imagine day 25. That's another 2 weeks for us. It's Wednesday. Madness a little less in evident, possibly. But the odd story we have heard, absolutely criminal. Not even joking there. Literally, it's now criminal. What else has happened? Oh, dog food drama. Wednesday was dog food drama day, it's dog food gate, which I will share with you. Temperature's dropped, so it's now -1 in Manchester, on top of everything else. And now I'm going in to get the chat. If you logged in early, you may not be seeing the We're Live Right Now banner. But if you are there, just refresh and you will see it. Right, hello, Kim. Raining in Seattle today. No, we've not had rain. It's been quite pleasant, to be honest. In fact, I've just put something on Facebook that sums Manchester up. It's one of these memes that are going round, and it's a picture of Manchester, and it really is Manchester, with the rain hammering down. I'm in the middle of this.
Oh.
Let me talk about my toy. Right, so it's this picture of Manchester in the siling rain. And it says Manchester in summer. Same picture, Manchester in spring. Same picture, Manchester in winter. Next to it, Barbados Beach. Beautiful. It says Manchester under quarantine. It's true. Now, what's your question, Mike?
I think my volume needs turning up.
You think you need turning up, you?
I haven't got the cable in.
That would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I've set everything up perfectly. Guess who hasn't put the cable in?
That's because we've been mad busy.
We have, actually.
Right, should we try again?
Now you're too loud. So step back a fraction.
Mary had a little lamb.
Still too loud. Just like last night, Mike. No.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
Yeah, you're still a bit hot, but it'll do. Right, okay, so we have been busy. It's been heckishly busy here. So, but let me see who else is in anyway. CQ, Deb, CQ. Oh, I'm reminded of Dad, G0IIM. we've got that on a mug downstairs somewhere. are we live? We do need to refresh. The radio actually comes on automatically. So when we're live, you don't need to refresh. The only reason you would need to refresh is to see the banner at the top. There's no way we can force that to refresh, unfortunately. But when it's there, we're really live as opposed to semi-live. So that's where we are. So it's raining in Sydney as well. It seems the planet's crying, doesn't it? Who else we got? Paul. Hello, Paul. Right. Say, I think I've said hello to everybody. So today was Doggate Day. Dog food gate. Yes. Crisis. I was so excited. Mike took 3 weeks to get a slot. Then when he got a slot, he then had to wait with it in the basket. So this home delivery malarkey is all right, but none of the supermarkets are coping. Anyway, I found out that one of our supermarkets, Morrison's, now, if you remember, that's the one that Graham talked about, that they were getting into partnership with Amazon Prime, giving them some slots. So just before bed last night, I went round and I said to Mike, what do we need? And I pushed the whole lot in. So there was all sorts in there. But the most important thing was the dog food. So that's where I was at. I had the dog food in the basket. I clicked through and everything was absolutely fine until you got right to the end. So it says your shopping basket, proceed to checkout. So this is like an Amazon thing, but it's Prime Now in a browser. So I proceeded to the checkout and it says, select your delivery time. Then it said there are no slots available. I thought, here we go. But this was about 11 o'clock last night. So I said to Mike, you go to bed. I'll sit here. I'll try and get this order through. For reasons best known to themselves, they also split the order into two separate baskets. The dog food was in the second of these baskets with the toilet paper, the number one item. It also had some water, some lemonade for Mike. He's taken to the bottle, so he's got plenty of alcohol. He needs lemonade with it, and some food like peppers and water and stuff. So I'd got these two baskets there. I thought, I wonder if there'll be some slots at midnight. And the slots that Mike can get at the supermarkets are currently 4 weeks away. And we don't have enough food for the dog. I'm not worried about us, but I'm worried about the dog. So, I was so excited. I get to the bit. It comes to midnight and I look to these two baskets and I thought, I'm going to have to go for the one with the most stuff in. So I clicked through, actually got a delivery slot. So bye. It was 25 seconds past midnight when I clicked buy on the other basket. All the slots had gone. So that one had the dog food in it. So all day it's been telling me, we release delivery slots. New delivery windows are released throughout the day. And that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to find some. And all day I haven't been able to. But while I've been attempting to buy, items have been disappearing out of the basket. First of all, you're only allowed three of anything. So I had three outers of dog food in. So that would give me 18 tins, which would last just over a week. That dropped by one. It said there was only two left. Then it said there's only one left. And I'm trying to check out and I can't because I can't get a delivery slot. About 20 minutes later, no dog food. So I'm like, for crying out loud. And I'm beginning to understand these people that are getting rather fraught in stores because I'm worried about the dog. I need food for the dog. So I'd missed a call this morning because I was in work, Mike was working. So the pair of us have not stopped all day. I went to bed at 4 o'clock when I finished. Mike got up at 5:30 and the pair of us have been working ever since. So I missed this phone call. When I got round to this phone call, it turned out to be from my best mate. And she was out and she was stood in front of a display of dog food. But by this stage, by the time I could get back to her, she'd gone. So she'd left the dog food. So she's like, damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it. Anyway, I said, if you ever stood with any dog food, just let me know. Well, the good news was this afternoon gets another call from my bestie. I'm at the dog food counter. And what's happening is her mum is driving her crazy. Her mum's saying, I need this and I need that. And she's having to go out for it. So she was actually stood there. She's not a great dog lover at all. But there she was, worried about our girl. And I just said, bring anything you can get your hands on. Anything will do. So she turns up at the door, rolled up with tins of dog food. We now have, 12? We have 24 tins of dog food, which if it's eked out with dried, etc., will last us for 2 weeks. So we're absolutely thrilled. So what I did, I put this picture on Facebook. If you follow me on Facebook, you might have seen it. If not, I'll put in the link. That was the picture I put up on Facebook. Huge public thanks. She's my hero today. That's such a good idea if the vets could do it. We don't actually have a permanent vet for Lola yet. I'd probably go back to the ones that looked after Mayer for the last couple of years of his life, as being the only ones that I didn't want to murder on a regular basis. I'm glad you've got a grocery slot. My grocery shopping is failing miserably. It's agonising to see the toilet rolls in the basket and not be able to get a slot. So my best hope is to stay up, and I didn't need to tonight, to stay up past midnight to try and get a slot. But I said to Mike I'd do it. It's like the war here. He takes over at 5:30 in the morning and starts trying to get slots for stuff. So we're working on half a dozen machines. But Nina was my hero today, my bestie. She's amazing. She's amazing. And it was so funny. We're shouting through the door. So I said to Mike every day, it's fine until 4 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock UK time, it goes crazy. Because for me, that's when my West Coast people come online. And they've got questions and stuff with the work they're trying to do. Mike's trying to wrap up his working day. And our friends know that Mike's kind of available at that point. So 4 o'clock came. And as usual, for the last, ever since we started Marooned, so since we've been self-isolating, every day at 4 o'clock has gone absolutely berserk. And that happened again. So I'm trying to put emails together. I'm trying to finish off a Zoom class. I'm trying to text Nina, my best friend. I'm trying to get money into her bank account so she's not got money laid out for dog food for us. Mike then takes a phone call from somebody whose email died on their iPad. So, and he's 80 this year, so you can imagine what kind of support call that was. That took us both, I think, about 50 minutes to sort out. But on the upside, he's now got mail again. So that was fine. Then Mike decided he'd take the dog if I finished off the training for him. Then do you remember when Mike wasn't here, which was Monday? He's not here at the minute, but that's a totally different story. He's only downstairs at the minute. On Monday, he was in a conference call and I took a screenshot and I passed it through. He's had about eight people from not our circle of Catinians, but other circles of Catinians who want to do exactly the same thing, ask questions. So I said, why don't we just put a training session on tonight? So Mike said, yeah, like we've not got enough to do. And I said, it's fine. We'll fit it in at 8:30. And he said, well, don't forget the 8 o'clock appointment. It's chaotic here. Is everybody else as busy as we are, or is it just us? The 8 o'clock thing we're going to try and share with you. The 8 o'clock thing is, I've seen it done in other countries. Now, I don't see Tracy in yet, but I know they did it in Spain. It's called Clap for Carers. So basically the plan is, and it's really being publicised a lot, is at 8 o'clock our time, which is 49 minutes away. Yes, I've got a clock on my desk now. we are to open our front door, obviously 2 metres from everybody else, and stand and clap. Now, Mike and I looked at each other with like, can't see that working. And then I said, well, maybe not normally, but people, the opportunity to be able to open your front door. So we're going to go outside and do that. But obviously that would be tricky with my microphone because we'd have to leave you for a few minutes. So I said, no, I've got an idea. What we're going to do is I've got my Skype open because if Pete makes it home, he's going to come on tonight. So I've got my Skype open. So I said, I could ring myself on Skype. So the plan is I have two phones, one of which I'll be using for video for tomorrow night, so you can see what went on, should anything happen. And another phone, an older phone, which I'm going to dial into my own Skype with. So I'm going to Skype myself. Yes, it's come to this. And it's only been less than 2 weeks. So I'm going to Skype myself on my other Skype ID, which means I should be able to carry on talking to you as if I was a guest on my own show. Yeah, that'll work. So we'll wander downstairs and we'll talk you through what's going on. Hopefully there'll be a big support for it. It's like I say, it's certainly been publicised enough. So that's going on tonight as well. Now, what else has happened? No new toys. You hack queen, you. Oh, yes. I was thinking, I've done it before where Mike's had to start or finish a course in our office. Well, my office, if everybody had their own, but his for the foreseeable as well. And I've done it with a long cable, but I thought the cable might stretch, but I thought I could just dial in. So that's what I intend to do. So my microphone, my main microphone will be open, but hopefully you'll be able to pick me up via the Skype thing when I've rung myself. That itself proved entertaining. The secondary Skype account that I'm using is the MacBite Skype account. Must admit, I'd totally forgotten we had a MacBite Skype account. Good evening, Helen. Good to have you with us. So I thought, well, I don't know what the password is. So I came to log in with it all and it recognised the password and everything. But obviously we'd not logged in for a while. So it insisted that I do the old password shuffle. So there I am on my mobile device trying to type a password in that I then needed to backfill into 1Password accurately. So I'm copying and pasting it into Zoom. It also wanted to send me a secondary ID to log in with, single use code thing. So I went through all of that and then finally I managed to ring myself. There should be audio, Helen. There's no point telling you that, really, is there? Let me refresh the page. Is everybody else okay with audio? I'm seeing it's okay here. I can also hear myself on Mike's monitor. So I know it's working, Helen. I know it's working. Has she pushed the button? Refresh the page and then press the play button. There we go. Hopefully that'll do. Any joy? Or turn the speakers on. Thank you, Paul, for that. Thank you. I think it is okay. Saying it's okay, my end. We were doing some testing last night and we had to turn the broadcast block off while we were testing something else. Can't remember what on earth that was. I actually feel I've got a lot done because I'm not stopped doing stuff, but not necessarily the stuff I was planning on doing. Mike's just said, you know, he's reading these things on Facebook that's saying, I'm bored. I've got nothing to do, I'm bored. Or they're downloading audiobooks and like putting their feet up and listening. I said, I've not got time to eat. He said, no, neither have I. I guess we're semi-frontline, aren't we? We're supporting those who need communications, basically. So hopefully Helen will be able to hear us. Are you now back?
I'm now back.
Are you back permanently or back temporarily?
What's temporarily?
I don't know. What time are you going?
8 o'clock.
Yes, well, I've explained what's happening at 8 o'clock. I've done all that.
Right.
That's I'm going to dial myself on Skype.
Right.
From his secondary account.
No, I've spoken to Kieran.
How's Kieran?
Kieran's okay.
Is Kieran coming to the training?
No.
But is he going out?
Kieran's tried Skype.
Yeah.
Not Skype. Zoom.
Zoom.
He's fairly au fait with how it works.
Oh, fair enough then.
Yeah, he's just had a hip operation.
Wow.
He was very lucky.
He was lucky, yeah.
Getting in time.
Yeah. Kieran was actually a surgeon, though.
Yeah.
So they probably put the call out to him, but he can't go back if he's just had a hip operation. Crying out loud. I've explained all about dog food gate. That was nearly a calamity. Good evening, Tracy. You missed me explaining the 8 o'clock thing, Tracy. At 8 o'clock, we're heading downstairs, but we're taking you with us. So don't worry. Doing a magic thing with Skype. But what we're doing is we're all standing outside our front doors and clapping for our NHS, our frontline care workers. So I didn't actually want to use my main phone either because I wanted to do some video. Can you try help Helen out? She said she didn't have any audio, but everybody else has. So I've said refresh the page, press the play button.
And she's on Firefox. Da, da, da,
and she's on Firefox. But I'm on Firefox and it's working on Firefox. Do you want to just check Firefox?
That's what I'm doing.
Ah, he's good, isn't he? He's good.
Yeah.
We've also that's what we were doing last night.
We spent the day doing, well, IT support.
Yes, we have. That's what I've just explained. Yes. Email of the 80-year-old that collapsed. I've just remembered what the testing was we did last night. The testing last night was so Mike's microphone and my microphone can be open at the same time with no echo. So that's what we've done tonight. So if you've got any echo, let us know. But we think it's just about right. But every time you log in and you start working, you think, yep, that was fine. And then you look at it and you think it's moved again. So tonight I had to turn it down a fraction just so Mike wasn't into the red on my monitors, which you saw last week.
Is Helen on Mac?
Yes, I do believe she is. Yep, I think that's what... I don't know actually who organised it, Tracy, but from what I can gather, they've taken inspiration from you. No echo. That's fantastic, Paul. That is good to know. That way we can leave our microphones both open and that way you can hear Mike. Because at the minute, when Mike is muted, my microphone is optimised in such a way, I don't want you to hear any background noise, so you can barely hear Mike. So that's the plan with it. That's the plan. So at the moment, they're both open. But if there's any issues with it, just let me know and I can deal with it. So I think we've copied Spain, Tracy. It's been all over the newspapers. It's been all over the news channels all day. So I can only hope that people do. I think they might, given the fact that you're not allowed out your house unless you're doing something else. So I've literally not even been beyond the back door or the front door in 2 weeks. Stir crazy? No, actually, I feel I've been in training for this my entire life. Obviously, it's slightly different that I can't get toilet paper and dog food. But other than that, I'm not stir crazy yet, but I do understand people who are. We are also just about getting police cordons put up. And if you are out and about and you've not got a valid reason, they're sending you straight back home. I can't understand people who are, and this is happening, driving 50 miles into the countryside to take the dog for a walk. Why? Why would you do that? It's risking the people in these beautiful villages. They're calling it a COVID footprint, or a tourist footprint, which means that, you know, you go up there and visit, you're okay, but what kind of footprint have you left behind, which I have to think about. That is bad. The NHS do deserve everything we can give them. Mike lucked out today. Mike totally lucked out. Jealous much? Oh, yes. He took Lola out, and obviously he took Lola out later because we were supporting the guy who didn't have email. So we both did the support thing. I said, well, look, you take Lola, I'll do this. And while he was out, he only, and this was figuratively, bumped into the beautiful Rachel, our daughter, on the way back from work. So she was off yesterday. Today was her first day on the front line. They maintained social distance. She was in the car, he was on the pavement, and they were shouting to each other. But obviously I didn't get to see her. Well, he's going to reach the point where she stood outside the house and I'm waving through the bedroom window at this rate. But Mike got to see her and I didn't, but never mind. I'm sure we'll do another FaceTime at some point. Do you know, you're quite right. The car would break down or you run out of petrol or something. Not much in the way of bollard gate, Paul. I can honestly say that. The bollards outside are looking quite happy and settled because there's very little footfall in terms of traffic going past. We're on a fairly main road. It's not a main road. Neil would tell you this because Neil used to live near us. The main road is the main road out of Manchester and it heads south. So if you were to go out of Manchester and head south, you'd go down this road. Eventually you'd hit the M6, which takes you to Birmingham. Keep going and you would be on the M1 and that would take you all the way to London. So it's pretty much a straight road. Well, we're not on the road that leads to the M6, but we are on a road completely parallel with it. And at the far end of it, we are very, very close to the south end of this road. There's only about 8 houses further down than us, and it terminates in a little roundabout. And it's dead straight, this road. At the complete other end of it is our church, which is in lockdown, so no getting there. But behind the church, there is actually what's called the Carrington Spur. And it's a tiny little road thing, but it is like a dual carriageway thing. But it's only short. It's only about 3/4 of a mile long. And it leads to the motorway, the M60, which is the ring road that goes all the way around Manchester. So we do get traffic from that, people who come off the motorway and then go up our road and they join the main road, the 8 houses past us. So I would say it's, in terms of if everybody was on lockdown, it feels it's been quite busy. But I would say probably only maybe 20 cars an hour, something like that. I mean, normally you can get 20 cars past here in 5 minutes. So now would be a really, really good time to be able to record a course. If, of course, I had time for anything, which I don't. I was actually in the middle all day. I've had a note up in Notion. And it says at the top of it, let me get it, so actually read it to you. It was that one there. It says at the top of it, it was Jonathan's idea, the virtual presenter's toolkit that he wants me to cover tomorrow night. And I think I've managed to put 2 lines of text in it. Oh, 3. 3, because every time I sit down to do something, I get dragged off to do something else. So I think I'm going to call it a day about 10 o'clock tonight, pack Mike off to bed and probably work for another 5 to 6 hours. That might just get me caught up. Then, of course, I'll be tired in the morning. But what else can I do? That will probably happen. I will guess that's what will happen. Fines for knobheads. Yeah, at the moment.
I'm assuming Helen can hear us now.
I'm presuming so.
Based on what she's typing.
Yes, I'm presuming so. There are fines. We talked about it being £30, which I thought was criminal. But apparently it's 60. You get let off 50% if you pay early. I actually did say to Mike, is it too late to instigate shoot on site? Because I think I would with some of them. They're just wandering around, like Helen says, just complete idiots. Idiots. That's the best way, Helen. Live on a road that doesn't appear on the map. We're on the map, unfortunately, and it got busier when they started using it for the hospital and police run. The road does narrow twice to try and dissuade you from proceeding with speed. But because it's so straight, we do get a lot of traffic on it. But it's not normally too bad. Excellent. Helen's got audio. Fantastic.
Good.
So no sick bollards at the moment. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when they let people out, though? No, so I haven't got any photos of that, but then I wouldn't have any photos of anything. So this week at MapBike's headquarters is going to be good, isn't it? Spoiler alert, no bollard photos.
Can I tell a funny story?
Tell a funny story, Mike.
This morning I was on a... I want to put these on because I can hear myself. This morning I was on a Zoom call for a team meeting. We have our little training team and we're part of a bigger team. And there was about 30-odd of us on this Zoom call. Some people decided to enable their video. And one of the girls had her kids kept coming in because she was obviously working from home. So she kept turning her video off. And one of the very senior people who was running the meeting suddenly on her video put her hand in the air and basically gestured at somebody.
who we couldn't see. And she then said, I'm just letting you know that was my teenage son who was just about to walk behind me in only his underwear. So the joys of working from home.
There's going to be some fabulous videos when all this is over.
So then her boss, who's like, a very senior person, basically vice president of IT, had done this little video that she'd put on Workplace, which is our social media network that we have at work, what used to be called Facebook for Business. And it was basically a 2-minute video saying how wonderful IT is and how much kudos we've had for supporting the business over the past few weeks. And somebody else then put about how this Zoom meeting had gone really well. I then went in and put something about it was nice to see this person's kids, but it wouldn't have been so nice to see this teenager in underwear. And then I decided to follow it up with a funny. And I said, I'm not going to put any links in here because it's not safe for work, but go and Google toilet web conference, I think it was. Or toilet Zoom conference. And I'm guessing it's true, but it could be fake. I don't know.
No, I saw some pictures. I don't think it is fake.
But it was this girl who was on a conference.
It was a government thing of some description. Was it? A council, as I understood it.
I don't know what it was. And she decided to nip off to the toilet, but yes. she left her webcam on. I presume she was on a phone. Because you're not going to carry your laptop.
No, I don't know if there was video.
There was video.
Well, there was definitely audio of her going to the toilet.
There was video. I'll go and find it and I'll post the link.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
There you go. I only have to type TOI into Google and it remembers
that. Oh, this
toilet
is fabulous.
Video conference. There we go. I'm going to post that into the chat.
Yeah, because we don't worry about not safe for work, do we? We just go for it.
There we go. Toilet video conference.
Oh.
No, there were definitely pictures. A woman caught going to toilets during video conference.
Oh, rule one, don't do that.
It's on the Daily Mail site, although you wouldn't believe the Daily Mail. It's on the Sun site, though you wouldn't believe the Sun.
Your link didn't come through.
The link didn't come through?
No, I don't see the link. Anybody else see the link? I've got toilet video
conference. No, I've not put a link. I've just said go and Google that.
Right, okay.
And it just comes up with a shed load.
This was the picture I put on Facebook earlier about Manchester. I don't know if you've seen that one, Mike. You could well have done. I've just seen it. Good, you can put a like on it then. Yeah, that is actually a picture of Manchester, isn't it? It's the centre of Manchester near Piccadilly Gardens, that.
And the reason I was bringing that story up is because I'm going to the loo. But
it's all right, he's not taking his iMac with him.
I'm not taking any tech with me.
And as you already know, he nearly struggled with the microphone. It wasn't plugged in.
And we don't have a checklist for Marooned.
Have a checklist for Marooned. I'm in the zone. I've got everything set up perfectly now, to the point I'm going to ring myself.
Right.
But you forgot to plug the microphone in. There is a long story with the microphone. We bought a perfect cable, didn't we? And we installed it. It was 20 metres long. We went all around the office with it, so we weren't trailing a cable across the floor. And it worked fine for about 3 weeks. And as you heard, remember the crackle? We tracked it down to the cable. So we'd managed to break this long cable that we bought and a shorter cable. So two cables had broken. So I ended up paying through the nose for this, what was it called? Is it a no-bull cable? I think it's called a no-bull cable.
Yeah, I think it is.
But the thing with it is, it's very expensive by comparison to the other ones. So you pretty much want to be certain it will absolutely work. So what I did was I bought a 3 metre one. Is that 3 metres? About 3 metres. So obviously this one trails across the floor and we can't leave it plugged in. So that's why he has to unplug it and then forgets to plug it back in. I decided yesterday, I'm sure I mentioned this yesterday, that I'd go to Amazon and I would look up a longer cable. So I think the longer cable is 20 metres. It's an XLR cable. So 20 metre XLR no-bull cable. And the delivery on it was appalling. So there's a lovely, lovely, is that a no-bull one? I do believe it is. They're all in different colours, obviously, but I wanted a 20 metre one. So you're looking at around £26 to £30 for that cable. But I'm noticing that because they're deemed not essential, I mean, on what planet are these not essential? These are essential. They're essential for me. If we don't have one, then that's it. But you can get a 20-metre cable at $29.99. Well, we'll just have to bite the bullet, won't we? But it was the delivery. Prime delivery, which is next day, usually. Currently, 23rd of April. Yeah, so that's not happening. So Mike's just going to have to make sure. Hello, Lola. Going to come and say hello?
Come on.
Lola.
Oh, she's going downstairs.
No, she's going downstairs now. She needs to meet her public when she's looking at best. Dog. She's very shy, actually, isn't she? Except with other dogs. So that's why we haven't gone for the 20-metre cable and reinstalled it. But we couldn't actually get the other one out either, could we? So we decided to just leave the lot alone. So that's why Mike has to unplug and plug in every time. I'd much rather that he didn't. But there's not much we can do about that right now. But maybe by the end of April. I guess I should probably order it, because if I don't, it's going to be August.
Yeah. Has anyone seen the toilet video conference links yet?
I'm going to watch that
myself.
Are you
saving that till afterwards?
I'm just stopping here. I didn't text me, so I'll check tomorrow before I come. Sorry too for my mum. Oh, Nina's put the text in the wrong chat. Good job that wasn't embarrassing. We've got a chat going in iChat. Does anybody else do this? It's like a group thing. So there's me, Mike, and then my bestie, Rachel. Rachel's other dad and Rachel's brother. I suppose that makes him my son, but he doesn't work like that, does it? The poor lad, he's been subjected to all sorts. So Nina's just put in a reply and then put another one that says, sorry, that was for my mum. So now we're getting multiple conversations. I am actually thinking how wonderful the communications have been during this calamity. How's everybody else getting on with it? What are you using? We're using WhatsApp with our Catanian friends because the group was already set up. We're using iChat, which is what we usually use with our other family. And what else have we used? Zoom is proving incredibly popular. So there's lots and lots of training going on with Zoom. Hello, Pete. Hello, Pete. Do you want to join us? Oh, good grief. I've not set my audio up. Hang on a minute. Do you want to join us? Quite happy for that to be another night. Completely up to you. But give me 2 seconds if you do want to join us, because you know I said I was going to ring myself. That was all very well, but I haven't muted this and plugged a microphone in and all kinds of stuff. So I'm doing that right this second, just in case Pete is ready to join us. Right. What kind of a day have you had, Pete? iChat and iMessage. Yeah, I don't do... Tonight's fine. Excellent. I will sort that out. So I can see you in Skype. I think we're already hooked up, aren't we? Are we already hooked up? Yes, we are. I do believe we are. So give me 1 second to mute my audio. Hello. Oh, I'm still there. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Excellent. Right, so that's sorted. So I need to shut myself up. Gosh, how did I do that? I think it was that one at the end. There we go. And turn that one on. That one's already on. Excellent. OK, I will. Do you want me to ring you, Pete? You to ring us? So what you need to do is get your questions together for Pete. Pete's a medic and he said he's going to tell us all about air ambulance and what he's been up to. Excellent. Busy. Loads of planning, working in your new area. I really don't envy you. It's amazing at the moment. We've literally just been saying Mike and I have not stopped. Literally not stopped. But I'm sure you're even busier than we are. So you ring me when you're ready. Just ping me in on Skype, an audio chat. And as soon as you speak, you will be live. So a perfect entry like Jonathan is required. Right. And let's hope that works. I do think everything there is ready for you. So ping me when you're ready. So iMessage is proving popular. That actually hasn't gone down yet. WhatsApp has been a bit sporadic. Teams has been a farce. Microsoft Teams.
Yeah.
That seems to have been down more than it's up, as does Skype, to be honest. But I think Skype's okay as long as you're not trying to run videos and stuff. Right, Pete's coming in. Hello, Pete.
Hello. How are you doing?
Excellent. We can hear you. Everybody can hear you.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, looks like it has worked.
It has. Isn't it amazing?
Always very high standards. So.
So, how's your day been?
Oh, busy. Yeah, we're just sort of trying to do the last bits of planning and things before the big wave hits. So yeah, it's pretty good actually. It's everyone's working together really well. A lot of sort of things that we're coming together now. So it's pretty good so far.
Good, excellent. Right. So do you want to tell us what your specialist topic is?
Oh, so probably the specialist topic would probably be something about air ambulances and pre-hospital care. So not really much medical stuff about what's going on at the moment, but something, if you ever see any air ambulance type stuff, I do quite a lot of that as well. So I can quite happily answer any questions that you've got about anything to do with that side of things, if you like.
Absolutely. That would be brilliant. I've always wondered, my question's a bit weird, I guess.
Oh, go for it.
When you would call 999,
mm-hmm.
you would expect an ambulance. So at what point is the decision taken that an air ambulance is needed?
Cool. So good question. There are generally two ways that we get activated. So air ambulances are distinct from the ambulance service in that every air ambulance in the country is its own charity. There's some charities that will operate more than one helicopter, but essentially what happens is that they are effectively subcontractors, if you like, to the ambulance service. What happens is that there is a call handler. So when the first person you speak to when you call 999 will be a call handler. And from certain things that they'll get off you within the first 10 seconds of talking to you, the first thing they'll normally say is a patient breathing or words to that effect. From the first 10 seconds of trying to get information off you, they'll generally have an idea of what the main issue is, hopefully, though that can be a bit of an art form in itself, trying to get that information out of some people. There's something called the AMPDS codes, which basically it's a series of numerical codes. So the first way that we'd get called out is if, from the information that we get on scene to start off with, that one of the sort of high-end things that we would be sent to would be triggered. So, for example, someone's been shot or stabbed or something. So that automatically would say, actually, that's a high-level job that we've got an additional skill set that we can bring in, and effectively we might be useful in that kind of situation. The second one would be as things kind of evolve a bit further in the phone call and there's more information, so it might be a car crash, which could be anything from sort of like a minor rear end bump, which we wouldn't go to actually this patient's unconscious or they're not breathing properly or they've got a head injury or something. So as you get more and more clinical details, that feeds into a degree into some of the codes, but also there's a senior call handler that will be listening in at the same time to anything that it's potentially flagged up as a job for us, and we can go to that. Or the other way that we get called out is actually initially a call might come through as something sort of fairly fairly low grade or something, but when a crew turns up, like a normal paramedic road crew, they may find it something a bit more than was originally first planned, or they may need some additional skills that we can offer as an air ambulance. So a prime example of that was I first started doing training for pre-hospital care in about 2006. And I remember one of the first jobs that I went to was essentially a medical job, which was the scheme I was working on was based in a fast response car at the time. And this job came through and it's okay, fine. So there's a woman there, mid-70s, who's apparently short of breath. Now, for me at the time, it was, you know, my first or second day out in an ambulance or a fast response car. So there's, you know, lights and sirens. It's all very exciting when you first go out there like that. And the doctor was training me at the time, says, okay, so, you know, what sort of things you're thinking about, what might you be, you know, plan three or four steps ahead, what kit might you want to take into the house, what sort of, you know, reasons might an elderly person be short of breath for. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh yeah, well, you know, it could be a chest infection, it could be COPD, it could be heart failure, it could be this, it could be that, and give a really long list of things. So, okay, so how are you going to deal with that? Well, we could give this drug, that drug, we'll take the monitor, we'll do this. And okay, fair enough. And we're about half a mile from this job where location is, and we come around the corner into this long street, and we see a house going up in smoke, and it turns out that it was actually a house fire, but no one had actually thought to tell us. A little bit different to what we were initially planning. So it's one of the things that I quite like about the job is that you tend to get thrown in the deep end sometimes, and you're working on less than 100% information. So a lot of it is about adapting your plans and adapting how you're going to work to what you end up dealing with rather than what you think you might be dealing with at the time.
Yeah, so you're thinking on your feet a lot.
Mm, absolutely, yeah.
That's the pre-hospital care side of it.
Mm, yeah.
With the air ambulance, do you have, You've obviously got to land it somewhere.
Yeah.
So if it's an issue on the motorway, obviously they could close that. Do you kind of keep a map of secret places that you can land generally, or do you do it on the fly?
We can do it on the fly. So there's two things that kind of terms that generally get sort of lumped together. So air ambulances and HEMS, which is helicopter emergency medical services. Now, an air ambulance technically is something that will take, in terms of the regulations, will take people from one hospital or one care area to another one. So that's normally a hospital transfer. Now, the Air Force essentially will do a scout. So for every hospital in the UK, there's a primary and a secondary landing site. So even sort of like small district general hospitals, there'll be two places that'll be within sort of a 3 to 4 mile radius. It might be a community sports field or something else that where you could actually put down a helicopter. Some places like big trauma centres will have their own helipad, which will be the primary site. But if for whatever reason you can't get in there, then there'll be a nominated secondary site as well. Now, so an air ambulance will just go between sites that have been looked at by the Air Force and pre-planned and said, actually, that's, you know, within a certain size for a certain helicopter, and you can land there. The HEMS side of things is a little bit different. That's essentially more what I do both, but I primarily work on the HEMS side of things. And what HEMS is you'll fly out from a base and you'll be given an address or a grid reference. And essentially, when you're overhead flying around the scene, you're looking for areas that you can land. And essentially, the legislation says that as long as there's a you believe that you're going to a job that's life or limb threatening, you have something called a 2D site that you can go. So D for diameter, which is the diameter of the rotor disc. So essentially, if you have to land in an area, say your rotor disc diameter or the longest, either from the front of the rotor at the front to the back of the tail, might be, for argument's sake, 13 metres. A 2D site would be you'd have to have 26 metres of clearance diameter-wise. So essentially, yeah, you in a HEMS type setup, you're flying to scenes that haven't been scouted and haven't been pre-assessed, but as long as they are twice the diameter of your biggest rotor measurement, you can land in there as long as it's there's a few other regulations that that's probably the biggest one. So it's something like a motorway, essentially we can land on that as long as we've stopped the traffic. So the other thing is that we sometimes have to move, you know, shut down both sides of the motorway to land safely just to comply with that 2D regulation. So that's probably the big thing is the difference between the ambulance and HEMS thing being pre-planned sites versus somewhere that we just find on the fly, depending on where we're sent to.
Yeah. Kim has a question. Kim says, What is the longest you've had to be up in the chopper at one time?
Not very long, because one of the big benefits of it is speed. So we've essentially, the way that we plan where we're going, we've got a lot of World War II technology. So as soon as we get a phone call on the base, we've got a giant map on the wall, which has got a plumb weight and a couple of pulleys on it. It sounds archaic, but it actually works really well. So what we'll do is there's a rose compass that's sat right over our base, and we'll pull the helicopter icon or whatever it's going to be to the site that we're going to on the map, based on the grid reference that we're given. So for a start, that gives the pilot a heading, so he can go out and start the helicopter up and get on the phone to air traffic control and say, we're going to a job in this particular area, we'll be taking off now. Our heading will be, I don't know, 150 or whatever it's going to be. So air traffic control can start vectoring various different aircraft around us if we need to. And essentially, on the other end of that plumb weight, because depending on how the scale of the map and the plumb weight are matched up, so you pull it out to wherever you're going to go on this job, and as this plumb weight kind of moves up as you're pulling the string, it'll give you both a distance and a flight time. Now, we can go on most of the patch that we cover, we cover sort of a couple of thousand square miles. But we can get most places within that within 15 to 20 minutes. The aircraft that we've got flies at about 140 knots, and everything compared to, you know, Sibian on a motorway, we just fly in a straight line, unless there's sort of some controlled airspace. But even then, we've got regulations, and we get priority access through those if we need to, as long as we're going to a job. So, essentially, a long-winded way of answering your question is as little time as possible in the air. But I think the longest trip that we've done, I think it's probably been somewhere in a region of about 25, 30 minutes. The big delay is usually trying to find somewhere to land at the other end rather than getting there.
Mm. That was what I was thinking was, you know, if there's like a school field nearby or something. But other than you could be just looking around for something.
Oh, school fields are great if you can get them. The only problem is if it's the weekend, sometimes the schools lock the gates and you end up trying to have to jump over a locked chain link fence or something as well. So half the problem when you're scouting the site is actually saying, right, we can land there, but can we actually get out when we're out the helicopter?
Do you know, that's actually really interesting because as a school governor, we were presented with something that the head teacher wants to do. Mm-hmm. And we're all looking at it and thinking, yes, yes, fine. And basically, companies have set up and they provide services to schools.
Mm.
And it could be anything from online homework stuff, you name it. It's become very privatised. And this particular company provide, let's say, gardening, but it's very much more than that. They are turning school fields into kind of adventure playground things. So they want to take our school field and around the edge of it, they will have a football pitch in the middle. But around the edge of it, it's becoming like an Amazon forest thing for the kids to play in. And the idea is that, you know, we're fairly urban and these kids may not get out into forests and to see that kind of thing. But when I think about like the school field being there for you to land on, it's going to make it much more difficult that they're building over flat land. They're turning it into an adventure playground, which isn't the best kind of thing. We could really do with more joined up linked thinking in terms of services.
Yeah,
because that would ruin somewhere to land there.
It would very much depend on like I say that 2D site. So as long as we've got like a 24, 26 meter, depending on the size of the helicopter. Because the other thing as well, there's no standardisation of helicopters. So some charities will have very, very big, very heavy helicopters. We've kind of gone more for the Ferrari option. That's a bit smaller, but a bit faster. So it gets us where we need to be faster, but causes less issue with landing sites, and we can get into places. I mean, the actual helicopter that we've got, we could put, you know, if we needed to on a full fuel load, we could fly to the south of France if we wanted to. But just in terms of there's other regulations about your engine performance when you're landing at certain sites and things. So we only ever fly around sort of a half to two thirds full, because there are certain regulations on weight for certain hospital landing sites. You have to be within a certain or under a certain weight. So by the time you fly somewhere, burn some fuel off, pick up a passenger that might be on average, you know, anywhere from 70 to 100 kilos, and then fly to the hospital, you have to be under a maximum weight limit for the engine performance. So all the in the UK at least anyway, all the HEMS aircraft are twin engine. So if one engine fails, it'll still stay in the air, and you have to have that when you're landing. You have to have that performance margin to be able to fly and safely land again on one engine if you need to. So that's one of the big things for us.
Mm. Paul says it's interesting these services are provided by charities. It's very similar in Australia.
Yeah, we don't get any government funding. It's interesting because the only government funding I think that any of the air ambulance charities have had since their inception has pretty much been the LIBOR fund that came out from a lot of the bank fraud things a few years ago. So when the money came through from that, I think there was a bit of a dividend that was given out to some of the services. Interestingly, it's only been about 4 or 5 years that the government stopped charging us VAT on aviation fuel as well. So that was 20% of everything that we're going. So every time that we launch, it costs us around £1,500 to get airborne and to potentially get to where we're going to. That's before we throw any of the expensive kit or anything and the capability that we have. So it's all done in the charity sector, and we've got some fantastic fundraisers. But each particular charity tends to fundraise in its own the area that it serves as well. So we try and avoid going into other patches, just because it's not really fair to be fundraising from an area that you're not actually going to support potentially as well.
Yeah, you don't think of that, do you? Well, you would, because you know that. But yeah, that's a very interesting point. Deb said she had a trip on the Royal Flying Doctors from Alice Springs to Adelaide. I don't know how far that is. In premature labour, but the baby was fine and hung on for another 4 weeks. So have you ever had anybody being born on one of your trips?
No. Thankfully, I've managed to avoid that one. No, there's a few sort of people place that we won't fly or weather. Yeah. And Australia is obviously a bit different because the flying doctor thing, it's all fixed wing, it's all aeroplanes rather than helicopters, so you've got a bit more space to work. In our particular aircraft, it's a bit more cramped. So if you're in active labour, we unless it was very, very exceptional circumstances, we wouldn't fly you. So the other thing as well is for example, if you get someone that's been involved in a chemical incident that's covered in all sorts of, petrol or other chemicals, if he's potentially going to be getting a load of fumes and things coming off them that might be a threat to the pilot that would make it unsafe to fly them, then we wouldn't fly that. I mean, a lot of the time, what we try and do, the helicopter's great for getting places quickly, but a lot of it's about getting sort of the medical care and the capabilities to the point of where the patient is and bringing the hospital forward, if you like. So even if you actually do get an ambulance called out, you might not necessarily fly in it, but you might get the doc and the critical care paramedic that will be taking you home, taking you in a land ambulance to the hospital and doing other things that, you wouldn't be able to get as part of standard paramedic care.
Mm. Would you expect to get any calls in relation specifically to anything corona related?
It's an interesting question, and it's difficult at the minute because there are at the minute there's so many different work groups and so many different guidelines that are coming out from different bodies. There are a couple of things that are a couple of bodies that we kind of work with. So there is something called JRCALC, which is the Joint Royal College's Ambulance Liaison Committee. So essentially all the hospital bodies and organisations get together and liaise the ambulance and agree on treatment protocols and things. And then those guidelines are devolved down to each individual ambulance trust to sort of interpret from at a local level. I don't think, though I could be wrong, I haven't checked because I've been doing more sort of hospital planning at the minute. I'm not sure if there's actually GRCALC guidelines on coronavirus, and I think each individual service is taking their own sort of lead on what to do. And again, I think it comes down to what the risk to the crew is, what the risk to the pilot would be. Would it be safe to fly? The other thing as well is if you have somebody that's going to be potentially having coronavirus, if they have symptoms, and then you expose the pilot to it, does that actually mean that the pilot then has to go and self-isolate for 14 days and you lose the capability? So it's a difficult one at the minute. We haven't got any particular hard and fast rules because things are still evolving. So it's a consideration. I think if there's a feeling that we can add something in over and above basic standard paramedic care, we'd certainly consider it. But if it's a definite, this patient has got a very, very high chance of having coronavirus, well, that potentially is going to turn off the capability and turn off the ability of the ambulance to respond if we lose the crew. So it's a bit of a balancing act, really.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be. I mean, yes, you could get there quickly, but whether you could actually do anything other than transport them.
Well, we wouldn't transport them. That would be the thing. Or certainly that would be a consideration because if we take the ambulance, what everyone's getting very excited about the coronavirus side of things, but what our sort of bread and butter work is primarily trauma care. So, people crashing cars, motorbikes, all that sort of thing, falling off horses. None of that stuff's actually stopping. There are a few people on the road, so hopefully we'll be seeing, fewer car crashes and things, hopefully. But essentially, yeah, if we've got the most to offer in terms of our capabilities and what we can offer, the problem that we'd have would be that if we lose the pilot and we lose the ability to fly because he's isolated because of the coronavirus, then all the work that we get from car crashes or bike crashes or anything else like that, we wouldn't be able to respond to. So the tasking is very much in a bit of a flux at the minute.
The other thing, of course, is even if you were called out, you wouldn't know if they were infected or not.
Exactly, yeah.
That must be worrying all round and very difficult to create guidelines for.
It's. I'm creating a lot of guidelines for the in hospital stuff where you have known patients that do have coronavirus, and that's hard enough. But when you get into the thing of, well, it might possibly be, but it might be something else. We don't know. It's a bit different.
Right, I've got another question here. How many people would fit into your helicopter?
So we will take one patient at a time, but depending on the kind of patient. So what our normal crew load is, you have a single pilot up the front, and you have a critical care paramedic that doubles as a HEMS crewman. So in addition to all the medical qualifications, they have to do a specific aviation course, and that essentially lets them help in navigation, help in a lot of flying-related tasks, and they will double up on the flight out. There's me in the back as the doc, which is lovingly referred to by the pilots as self-loading baggage. We end up flying out, doing the assessments, and we'll take a patient. So we can only take one patient at a time. But if it's a pediatric patient, for example, we potentially, depending on the weight limits that I was talking about earlier, depending on what aircraft you're on, we may take one other escort with them, like a parent. So normally the maximum amount of people that we get in a helicopter will be five at a time, but different airframes, different helicopters have got different sort of capacities, and can essentially take more people should they be, but it's more dictated by what your local policies are, really.
Yeah. Right, we've got another question from Paul. He says, do they have the same considerations regarding standard ambulances if they transport a coronavirus patient?
We've got a few more because, as I mentioned, the big issue, I mean, the overriding issue for what we do in terms of HEMS and air ambulance stuff is essentially that the overriding principle rather than medical stuff is flight safety. That's a whole different sort of ball game to get into. So if it's felt that no matter what the medical case is, if we can't complete the tasking because there's a flight safety risk to the crew or the aircraft or both, then we wouldn't do it because I think there's only ever been one crash or one incident in the UK for ambulance HEMS operations in something like 35, 40 years of operating. So we've got a really good safety record. So essentially, yeah, there will be different considerations because if it was felt that by any member of the crew that it wasn't safe for flight safety reasons to move a patient or to take a tasking, we wouldn't take it.
Right, okay. Well, earlier, before you arrived, I explained what we're doing at 8 o'clock tonight, which is everybody in the country is supposed to be going outside onto their balconies or their front doors and clapping for carers. So our plan was to do the same. But obviously,
as long as the 2 metres away from each other, that's fine, yeah.
Obviously, the issue with that is I'm marooned at my desk with my microphone. But we had a plan, which is that I'm going to Skype myself in to myself, as it were. So this is all brand new. I have no idea if this is going to work or not, but that's the plan. So what I want everybody to do is, if you've got any more questions for Pete, put them in the chat. What I'll do now is I will sign off with you, Pete, but yep. We can come back later if you've got any more questions.
Yeah, sure.
That was amazingly good. I know a lot more than I did before, and I always had a lot of questions about that. You'd see them flying and you'd be wondering. Right, so we will come back to you after 8 o'clock. I trust you are going to your own front door and clapping yourself.
Quite possibly. I might just go and pour myself a glass of gin first, but yes.
I was just saying earlier, Mike was trying to get hold of some lemonade to put with his Southern Comfort, but it's still in the basket and I can't get an appointment to have it delivered. But we will get there shortly.
So, alcohol's a sterilising agent, so I think that's definitely to be encouraged.
Exactly. So I'll tell him that. Right, so what we'll do is I will hang up with you. I will then try and get me into the call, and then we'll head down to our front door and consider yourself clapped, Pete.
Thank you.
Right, we will be back with you shortly. Go and get yourself a drink.
Cheers.
Talk soon.
See you, bye.
Bye-bye. Right, so I'm going to try and dial myself in. This'll be a farce. Right, you might hear two of me while I try and do this. Call myself on Skype. Let's see how that works. Oh my, he's ringing now. Is that me? That's what I want to know. Is that me? I think it's me.
It's me.
Hello.
Good grief,
it's working.
Right.
I'm about to leave the room. We've got 1 minute 20 seconds to get to where we need to be to do this.
So I'm heading off.
Oh my word.
I'm taking headphones and cables with me.
Now what Mike's doing is taking some photos
of this. That's the plan. I'm going to have to leave my shoe behind at this rate. I've got a cable stuck in it. Oh, dear. Come on. Or I won't be downstairs. Right, I'm free. That's the dog you can hear. So do let me know. I can't see the chat, unfortunately. but we are heading downstairs, so Lola's going to be incredibly excited that she's getting out into the front garden. There she is, all geared up and ready. So I'm heading down the stairs, not doing any video of this bit. Doors wide open, fresh air. That's my first fresh air in nearly 2 weeks. So let's see if everybody else is doing the same thing.
Everyone else is doing the same.
Excellent. Well, you get some video of it, Mike, because I'm not going to be able to clap. Oh, I can hear clapping.
How can I clap then?
Excellent. Let's put the porch light on so everyone knows that we're doing it. They're a little bit early, but we'll take it. There we go. There's the porch light. And there's the clapping. Oh, how wonderful. There's a fair few people not doing it, but there's also a fair few people doing it. Like that, Mike. That's how you clap. Hello, Lola. Want to see what's going on? How amazing. Oh, it's wonderful. It's quite a small place in Sale that we live. There's only 8 houses on our road. And as I say, it's a little bit early. Are we actually at 8 o'clock yet? I do think we are. And people are clapping. It is wonderful. Not everybody, but... Oh, there's next door's kids. Hello? Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, we've got the couple next door, and they've got 2 young girls, about 8 and 6, I do think. Now we've got cars passing, tooting their horns. Hear that? I presume they are emergency services of some description. And Mike's out there with the dog. I'm going to try and take a picture of Mike out there with the dog filming. I can't clap when I've got the phone in each hand. Oh, my word. Right, it's 1 minute past. Give us a smile, Mike. Hang on. Needs to do the dark thing. Oh, they're coming out across the way. Yes, they are. Come on, Sheila. Neighbours opposite with all their dogs have come out. It's like New Year. this is amazing. I can't wait to share the pictures with you. We've got more houses come out now, so I would say in our street probably 7 of the 8 are out. Lola's holding court, as you can hear. Want to say hello to the map bitons, Lola? That's Lola. Yeah, well, we're here. And we're here. That's all that matters. Keep safe. Yeah. Oh, I think people are going back in. Oh, we've got fireworks. Got fireworks as well. From a pub somewhere. Oh, Lola. Lola is creating.
Come on. Oh, grab her.
Lola, it's come off, Mike. It's this end. Lola. Come on, Lola. This way. You little menace. You menace we are, thanks to you. Excellent. Excellent. Right, we're all heading back in. Lola managed to slip her lead. I'm coming in and I'm shutting the door. You're getting it unexpurgated here. What were you up to, Lola? Naughty Lola. You okay?
Yeah.
Right, I'll get back upstairs and share what we were all up to. Sort the front door out. Mike,
right.
Bring it off and look after yourself. Right, I'm heading back up the stairs now. Oh, my word. I would say the majority of our street were out. Not everybody else was out on the main road, but enough to make a noise. Lola, however, slipped her lead. I blame Daddy for not tightening it enough. She's now getting a telling off. And I'm heading back in so you'll hear me twice. So I'll hang up on myself and come back on the normal microphone. Speaker, right, speaker off.
Hang up. I'm back. Lola's going to be in serious trouble. Naughty Lola. Oh, good grief. Wow. Right, let's see. Clapping for Pete and all the others. Thank you, Kim. Oh, it's cool, isn't it? You're very welcome, Kim. That worked well. So now I know I can call myself. Mike did grab hold of Lola in the end. She was dragged in unceremoniously, with no lead on. The neighbour grabbed her. Where's my headphones gone? Right, there we go. Excellent. Your kids will be kids. Naughty, naughty Lola. Naughty Lola. Anyway, she's back in now. The NHS have been clapped. I do believe the local news is taking it. So hopefully, if I can go back, let's have a look. What have we got? Yes, we've got lots of, they're outside houses and there's some video. So I'll grab that for tomorrow. It was the top of the hour on the news, and make sure that you get to see it. Excellent. So have you got any more questions for Pete? If you want more questions from Pete, for Pete, I will go back in with Pete. You're still there now. Have you got your drink? Oh, Lola's still getting a talking to. No, I've never seen her do that before. Typical, isn't it? She wanted to be across the road. Across the road, they've got two golden retrievers. And they're Lola's friends. And Lola wanted to go and see them. Which wasn't the best idea Lola has ever had. Great, Pete's still there. Excellent. Right. So, is she told off?
She's fine. She's in there. She's not like Maya.
Oh, no, she wouldn't have legged it, but that's not the point. No. She shouldn't have slipped the lead, should she?
No.
No, she actually slipped it, because when you were trying to hook it back on, the lead, the yeah. collar was at the other end.
Yeah. Washed. Yeah.
Well, go and do that.
Why?
Just go and do it. Right, I'm trying to keep you safe. I'm trying to keep Lola safe, crying out loud. Right, OK, let's have Pete back on then. There must be some questions for Pete. You know, I am sure that Johnny I would have lots of questions, but Johnny I is at a party. So, Pete, dial back in, and we'll have you back. I'm not fit enough for all this running around, you know, and chasing dogs up the street in the middle of the night. Still. You've got to keep exercising, haven't you, in these times? So hopefully Pete's got his drink and he can come back. Most interesting case or most interesting trip? I'm liking these questions. Right, when you're ready, Pete, just let me know. Excellent, Pete's back. Hello, you're back.
Hello. You've got to keep exercising, haven't you?
Oh, I can see you as well.
Hopefully Pete's got his drink.
Nothing wrong with that. Right, so your first question. What was your most interesting case or your most interesting trip?
Most interesting case or most interesting trip?
Without giving too much away.
I'm trying to think of the ones that I can actually get away with on a PG-13 rated webcast. Various things from probably not a good one to ask.
Okay, shall we stick with most interesting trip?
Most interesting trip. I've got to try to think of some of the really good ones. I've got to land at some quite interesting like motor racing places. That's been quite good when there's been amateur racing going on. So that's been pretty interesting. Racetracks is probably the most interesting place to get to. Good question. After that, I don't think about that one really.
You ever think about it? Let's see if we got any more. I think that's all the questions we've got. Oh, I'm gonna have to think of some now, then, aren't I? So what kind of fundraisers do you do?
So we generally don't tend to get organised and get involved in the fundraising as the operational crew. It mostly tends to be, we've got a dedicated fundraising department. So that goes from everything from, I think we've got a lottery, there's clothes banks, there's charity shops that we actually sell second-hand goods from. There's some legacy work, so people leaving sort of donations and wills, people doing gift aid, that sort of thing. So there's a pretty broad spectrum. Get some sort of big companies doing donations as well, which is pretty good as well. So,
but it obviously takes a lot to run it.
It's a huge charity in terms of how we do, because we've got two helicopters now. Well, two helicopters now, and there's a separate charity we also kind of help out with as well. So, yeah, I mean, essentially we operate two 24-hour day services. So we have, when we're not flying on a helicopter, essentially, we have got the same sort of staff model, so a doctor and a critical care paramedic that'll work on a fast response car. So the ability of what we can do in terms of the care we can deliver and the advanced interventions we can do is the same whether it's day or night. But the platform that we use sometimes changes. So we end up going out in a car rather than going out in a helicopter. So it takes a bit longer to get there, but what we can do when we arrive is essentially the same. There's some places that are starting to, or some organisations that are now starting to do night helicopter work, which it's an interesting concept, and I think it depends on where you are. If you're in a big urban centre, there's probably not any benefit because all the extra planning that you have to do, essentially, if you're going to take off and land at night in an unscouted site, you have to have two pilots rather than one. So instantly, it becomes twice as expensive from the staffing. You have to essentially do a whole, like, literally like a Google Maps sort of search of the place that you're going to go and land and see if there's any wires or any danger to you getting down. So by the time you've planned all that, start the aircraft up and moved, you're probably about 15, 20 minutes behind where you are anyway. So if you live somewhere near a reasonable motorway or somewhere like that, then actually that's 20 minutes when you could be sort of further down the road and potentially be at the job. If you live somewhere out like, you know, middle of the Peak District or the Lake District or something, and you've decided to go midnight rock climbing or something bizarre, there's probably an advantage. But for most places in the UK where you go to the sort of instance that we'd go to, with the sort of patient group that we go to, flying a helicopter tonight probably doesn't really justify the cost for how often you'd end up doing it and the increased risk that you'd be associating it with.
I would say, who in their right minds would go rock climbing at night? But
you'd be surprised.
So I've watched the news and now I realise I live in a country of idiots. Somebody, we were saying earlier, I think it was before you came in, somebody had driven 50 miles to walk the dog. The place where he landed to walk the dog were not pleased, and I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it the COVID footprint, and they turned him right round and sent him back. The police have deployed drones to keep an eye on these idiots. My answer was to shoot on sight, but that could just be me. I mean, it would solve the problem, wouldn't it?
Well, apparently North Yorkshire, the police up there are now starting to actually just do random stops and see where people are going. I mean, I remember reading that there's the fine's gone up now to £60 for your first infraction, but every time that you get caught out again, essentially the fine's going to double. So that's probably a bit of more of a deterrent, so that's probably a reasonable thing to do.
Yep. I saw that on the news about Yorkshire. I thought it's a very wise thing to do. In terms of the area that your helicopter covers, how big's the area? Is it the whole of Yorkshire?
No, it's so I fly for it's one umbrella sort of parent charity called the Air Ambulance Service, which covers Derbyshire, Leicestershire, Rutland, Warwickshire and Northamptonshire. So it's a pretty big patch, and then sort of a bit up into South Yorkshire occasionally. We when we get towards the sort of the borders region, we will cross cover other air ambulances if they're out on a job and there's a task in their area that we can help with, we will. So it's a pretty big area.
That is a huge area, isn't it?
Mm.
I've driven through Warwickshire, so I know how far that is from the borders area. So it's virtually, that's about 25% of the country, really, isn't it?
It's
over on the east.
Yeah,
that is huge. So you definitely need the fundraising. Helping
absolutely,
out.
Yeah.
I find it amazing that it is just a charity. It's a little bit like the hospices, isn't it?
Mm. It's a bit of a double-edged sword. I mean, like I say, you don't have the guaranteed income. Unfortunately, like I say, we've got a really good team of fundraisers, which is really helpful. But the nice side to it is if it was essentially like an NHS service or a government service, a lot of the bureaucracy, a lot of the negative sides of being part of the NHS in terms of paperwork, reporting, all the rest of it, you know, we're freed from that because we're not part of it. So depending on how you do it, you can look at it either way. It's a bit of a blessing or a curse, depending on how you look at it. But I think that for us, the setup works really well. We've got a really good, you know, essentially the business side or the management side, if you like, of our charity works really well. So we're pretty lucky in that we can, we've got really good helicopters, we've got really good equipment. Some of the paramedics, some of the other docs I've worked with, some of the best people I've worked with. So we're managing to attract the right the right sort of caliber and right amount of people. So we're pretty fortunate, but it's not the same sort of situation, I appreciate, in other areas, depending on how the setup is. But we're very lucky to be able to do what we do.
I do hope at the end of this, we learn our lesson and we support the services that matter and not the ones that don't. Well, I hope that, I think that's the most positive thing that could come out of it.
That was a really interesting thing. One of my my NE colleagues at work today was saying, it's interesting that as soon as you say there's a national pandemic, what all of a sudden doesn't need to go to the accident emergency department as an emergency, seems to drop off. So we should have one of these more often, apparently. But
it would certainly help with A&E, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
I've only been to A&E twice in the last 12 years. Both times was with Mike and his kidney stones. But the people that you see in there, they're basically sitting there having a fag, and you're like, are you ill? Yeah. They don't even look ill, much less in need of A&E. Yeah. I always work on the principle, if you don't need a stretcher, you don't need A&E.
It's a good principle.
That's just me. Hey, the last time I saw my GP was 1992.
Oh, wow.
We have an understanding. They get paid for me to be on their list, mm-hmm. and they leave me in peace.
Seems reasonable, yeah.
It works really well. Just imagine if everybody took that approach. They'd have time for absolutely everything. Mm. Right, Deb says, what made you choose to become a rescuer?
I couldn't be an astronaut or a pilot.
That'll work.
I've only ever wanted to have three jobs my entire life. I wanted to be an astronaut from when I was like, a kid to about four or five. Then I watched Top Gun and wanted to be a fighter pilot. And that sort of persisted till I was about 13 or 14. And I remember sitting in the back of my physics class when I was in like year nine or something. So yeah, about 13, 14 years old and struggling to read the board a little bit. So got told I had to, go and have my eyes tested. And I was very slightly short-sighted. And basically I went to my careers advisor at school who said, oh, that's prepared you ever be in a fighter pilot. You have to have 20/20 vision, all the rest of it. Turns out is absolute rubbish, but that's a different story. So after, essentially watching Top Gun one too many times and wanting to be Tom Cruise, literally what happened was my mum said, oh, that film that you like watching, that Top Gun thing, the guy that was in it in some new medical TV show, maybe you want to watch that or something, see what you think. So I started watching ER. And I thought, well, if I can't be Maverick, I may as well be Goose. So I ended up deciding to go into medicine, essentially based on not being able to be the lead character in Top Gun, but being the guy that got killed instead. And that's pretty much it, really. And
that was Anthony Edwards, wasn't it? I remember him.
Yeah. So
But now your time has come. And now we know that doctors are the only real, true superheroes. So you made it after all.
Maybe, yeah.
Right, have we got any other questions? Any other questions for Paul? Now I see Kim says she used to live on the Navy base where Top Gun was filmed.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, Miramar. Yeah, that's...
If anyone's a bit of a sort of...
God, Mike's singing. Hang on, let me mute his microphone.
Oh, that loving feeling.
I would take my breath away.
Oh, yeah, his singing will take your breath away, but not in a good way.
As an atheist, I can do that, so...
Do you know, my daughter's got a mug and it's got on it because she wanted a mug and it was the Bristol stool scale.
Yes.
On the side of the mug. So I ordered that for her, sent that off. And I found some other mugs for nurses. So I said, oh, my God, this is the best one ever. So I sent her the photo and she said she sent me a photo back. She already had that. That's her main mug. And it says on it, nurses can't cure stupid, but we can sedate it.
Yes.
So I'm putting you in that category. So if you could just sedate about 60% of the country right now, we'd all be very grateful.
As would we. It would vastly reduce our workload, but yeah.
Did you see the guy who licked the toilet seat?
No.
In America, somebody, they take on these challenges.
Yeah,
it was
the
COVID challenge, and they sent him into a public toilet, and the dare was to lick the seat, which he did. He's now inside. He's got COVID.
Yeah, it is like watching Darwin in real time.
Yes. If only the ones that didn't make it through were the ones that shouldn't really make it through, then it would be all right. We could just volunteer people based on IQ, based on the stupid things we see them doing. Sadly, it doesn't work that way. But I know you're going to be incredibly busy in the upcoming weeks. Hopefully you'll be able to join us. We'll be on the behind the front line trying to keep the morale up.
Oh, certainly do not, believe me. Yes. And thank you for all the technical support as well. It's been
You are very welcome. Kim says Americans are stupid. Kim, you have no idea. I didn't think Brits were that stupid. Now I know better.
Special breed sometimes, yeah.
Just some of them that are standing there arguing with, like, it's my right to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I cannot understand anybody going out. But
it's interesting that now you saw the off license where you can buy alcohol is now classed as an essential service. So
I can imagine that for some people.
Yeah.
I did say about 10 days ago that I was concerned about the incidences of domestic violence. Apparently, they are going off the scale. So I wasn't wrong with that one, sadly, either. I don't see how that would be improved by letting people drink more but have to stay at home.
Mm, yes.
But all we can do is see how that goes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been fantastic to have you on. Hopefully you'll join us again.
Yeah.
Find another subject.
Yeah.
In fact, you can talk about the same. So we don't mind at all.
Oh, no,
so we'll have Johnny on again. So yeah, that would be absolutely fantastic. So you on tomorrow?
Yes, I am back doing intensive care again tomorrow. And then I am off until Monday night and Tuesday night. So I'll have a couple of days of just catching all the stuff I'm meant to be reading about, but I haven't actually had time to yet. So, yeah.
Oh, I know the feeling. We talked about that. If you ever listen to this on catch up at the beginning, we have had a heck of a week. And it's like other people are saying to us, I'm downloading loads of stuff from Audible because I'm bored. And we're like, I've not got time to eat.
Yeah. I've still got about 4 weeks where I think I've seen the last two live shows because I was on call and people started behaving nicely in A&E. So I've seen the last two live shows, but I've got about four previous ones to catch up on at some point, including trying to get my Notion homework worked. And
hey, we can do some one-on-one if you need
something
it.
Out, yeah.
Well, we've got an 8:30. What we're doing at 8:30 is we're teaching, would you say, octogenarians?
Not all of them.
No, some of them are only in their 70s. How to use Zoom. So if you think you've got it bad...
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting.
We've got a bit of a design challenge, if you fancy it. We're trying to have there's a pub over the road from the hospital I work in, and which obviously has been closed down now. We used to have a bit of a tradition that Friday night everyone would go out and have a quick drink. So effectively, yeah, we're going to try and have a virtual pint together via Zoom. So I think everyone tomorrow night is going to have a Zoom meeting with a drink of their choice. So I need to design a poster for a virtual pub at a Zoom meeting. So,
right, there you go, gang. You've got a challenge. That'll keep you occupied.
Yeah,
there you go. Have you seen what Deb's put?
Yeah,
and Kim.
We're trying to think of some suitable pub names, and so far we've come to the Arms Length. I think was one of them that we mentioned. The Isolate Inn. Of course, everyone's getting a 2-for-1 deal on bottles of Corona.
I actually went the last time we went to Tesco's, because I don't drink, so I don't know about that. I was walking up the aisle and there was some empty boxes just strewn on the floor, and it said on one side Corona and Extra on the other, and I thought that could explain a lot. Because I had no idea there was a beer.
Yeah.
Now I know. I don't know if you can see the chat. Hopefully you can.
Yes.
Kim says thanks for the talk and saving lives. And Deb says you are our top gun. There you go. I told you that. See, now you're a real superhero.
Excellent. Just need to get the shades and the flight note.
Yep, that'll work. Just do it. Just do it.
Brilliant.
And send a picture in. Fantastic to talk to you. Thank
no
you
problem.
Very much for sharing.
No problem.
Hopefully we will talk again. Good luck with the shifts. And if you need anything, just let me know. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Bye.
Bye. Okay, that was Pete. Excellent. That was so interesting. When you think how much that costs, and it's all done with charity work, just like our hospices, the hospices who look after end-of-life care, all of that I know is donations and charity support. I hope at the end of this, that's my number one wish, that we mark as important the stuff that really is important and not the stuff that's not. Have you noticed I haven't heard a word about the Kardashians in at least 2 weeks? Just throw that out there. Yes, not important. Not important. So hopefully we'll realign our priorities. So Mike's nipped into the other room. He's logging into his Zoom room. I'll be logging into his Zoom room with him. And, what's Kim saying? Breaking news for Washington. State lockdown may extend more than 2 weeks. I can imagine that. Hopefully you'll be able to get some supplies. At the moment, we're on 3 weeks. We are 4 days into our 3 weeks. I'm sure Pete said this, that it, you know, that's not really going to be long enough. I would suspect myself 12 to 16 weeks and just see how it goes. But we are here to entertain you. So we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. What day is it? Oh, it's Thursday. That means we're back twice tomorrow. We're back at 7 o'clock for a good old chat. And we're back at 9 o'clock, should I actually have time to prep anything, for learning and stuff. So I think what I'd picked, let's give you a bit of a heads up. It was what you all sent in. There was the trick I had for replacing fantastical. There was importing multiple items into a Notion table, which means that we can sort our journals out en masse. And then Jonathan suggested the Virtual Presenters Toolkit, which is a range of a lot of tools that can be used for other things, but specifically useful for presenting virtually. And I've got one slot left. So we'll see what comes up tomorrow with that. But for now, I shall head off. I've got to close this down before I go into the next thing. And as you can see, we're like two rats on two wheels at the moment. In fact, we're like two rats on one wheel. Look after you and yours. Make sure you are safe, and we will see you tomorrow. So it's good night from me. It's good night from Mike, and we will both see you tomorrow, which will be a day 12. Good night, guys.